This is a website for this presentation, and I don't like to use PowerPoint. I like to use websites. And this website actually has discussion links. It's sort of set up as a blog, so you're welcome to go to it and discuss anything in there if you want to post a comment later. You might have to register with the site to do that, but once you're in, it should work. So I would like to talk a little bit, and Shell and I will both be talking about a pilot project at Middlebury College. Last spring, we bought 100 iPods for use by students and faculty, and we tried them out last summer with the Middlebury College Language School. Students in selected programs, first-year Chinese students, and first- and second-year Russian students. We chose those languages because we had a lot of resources for those students already. We have developed lexical databases for all the less commonly taught languages, which contain core vocabularies and dialogues for at least first-year study in those languages. And they had been in databases, and what we did was took the metadata that's in the database and we embedded it in the audio file. And we're talking about 8,000 or 9,000 audio files. So what's new about iPods? Is this any different from audio CDs or audio cassette? Well, I think it is considerably different. I think it's different in a number of ways. When media goes digital, you get the capability for granularity, greater control over granularity. So with audio CDs, you have tracks, and you can have so many tracks, and you want to jump from one to the other, you kind of have to go sequentially with the controls. But when you have a digital media player, it becomes much easier to get to what you want to hear. And this is really the key with language study, to be able to listen to the things that you need to listen to and be able to find that very quickly. So digital audio makes for greater granularity. We have separate audio files for each vocabulary item and each line of dialogue. And when you embed the metadata, and the way you may know this already, but the way iPods and other media players navigate is they get the metadata from within, they extract the metadata from the audio files themselves and use that for the navigational structure using the standard called ID3. And ID3 is an evolving standard. It was designed first for music, but it's quickly being repurposed for a lot of other uses, as we see with podcasts and audiobooks. And you can see with this little shot, well, let me actually jump to iTunes now. And digital media, digital audio has really, in many ways, enlivened metadata again, because you can't search the audio files. At some point, we'll probably figure out how to extract and have transcripts of the audio, but right now, you can't search the audio, so you need good metadata. And so iTunes is really a nice tool for finding things using metadata. And what's evolved, especially with the latest version of iTunes, is the ability to do faceted metadata searching and browsing. A combination of searching for terms and also browsing. You see they've added this toolbar here. I'm glad that a lot of you have iPods, so you're probably pretty familiar. I'm not sure if you download the latest version, but it has introduced this tool search bar here, which in combination with the search field here can lead to interesting results. If I click on music, right away I'm limited, or better yet, audiobooks, I'm limited to all the files in my collection that are audiobooks. And then within that I can search and find what I want very quickly. And this is something that we ought to probably introduce into our operating systems, this notion of facets or attributes, being able to search by the attributes of things as well as being able to browse through the dynamic taxonomy. This is what's happening here. These change depending on these genre orders. Now this change depending on whether they have this attribute of podcast or audiobook or music. So that's a very new, interesting innovation, I think, that has come from digital audio and the introduction of granularity and metadata, standardized metadata. But I think what's really even more exciting about this is not a mashup of Google and iPod data. This is a mock-up. But I use the iPod a lot. I've been using it since first generation. And wouldn't it be cool if you could keep track of your iPod, wherever you use it, you know. So this is just something I sort of thought would be interesting. Some point in the future, you know, you'd actually be able to keep track of what you listen to at any given point in time. So let me show you some of this material that we developed for the language schools. We have a whole bunch. Here it is here. We have, so the students, we preloaded this on the iPod. The student got all this material, and they could study here. And with the navigational structure, they could really quickly get to exactly what they wanted to see. So this is lesson three. This is, iPod only shows the song title, so we had to have different versions of each of these files. One in which the song title was the traditional Chinese characters, so that when you display it on the iPod, you see the Chinese characters. And then other versions which has the pinyin characters. This is kind of a limitation of the iPods right now. I think the actual video iPods will let you get to the more metadata. So the problem was you couldn't actually show the translation of the Chinese characters at the same time. So we had these different versions. I don't have any English ones there. Sometimes the title would be in English, you'd be listening to it and you'd be seeing the English, sometimes you'd be seeing the pinyin, and sometimes you'd have to see the traditional or simplified characters depending on what level you were studying at. So I think this is a tremendous improvement over audio CDs, that you can quickly get to whatever you want through the navigational structure of the metadata. Another very interesting thing, though, is this idea of tracking. iPods keep track of whenever you've added an audio file, the last time you played an audio file, the number of times you played an audio file. And from this tracking information, you can make up, you probably know this already since a lot of you are iPod users, you can make smart playlists, or what I'm calling study lists. This is a Chinese study list, or smart playlist, that contains all the stuff in my collection that's from the Chinese genre, that's from albums that contain traditional characters that have not been played in the last day, ordered randomly. There's all sorts of possibilities. There's rating in iPods. Well, you could use rating as a way, not only of, in the context of music, rating is a way of showing what you prefer, but in the context of education, rating could actually be a way of gauging your knowledge. So, you know, we could listen to this, but, oh yeah, I know what that is. I'm going to give that 4 stars. This one, what's he saying there? I'm going to give that 1 star. And then you can create smart playlists that sort by that rating. Very interesting idea that actually the students did not use. Don't know why. Well, there were problems with the setup and stuff. I don't want to get into, I have about 3 more presentations on the whole language school thing I'll be giving this fall. I just wanted to touch on some of these concepts here. Okay, so let me jump to aggregation. One thing that Brian mentioned, iPod is this kind of solitary thing, and you can create your own playlist, but an interesting thing that's happening is that you can now share that. There's these online music communities. This is one here. This is mine. Basically, you upload your iTunes collection, and actually this one monitors as you're playing music. See, these are the last things I played. It uploads it to the site, so what I'm playing appears on the web almost instantaneously or a couple minutes after I played it. Very interesting idea. And then I can go through here, and it has neighbors. These are people who have similar musical tastes to mine. We have done the same kind of thing. We have created a tool that allows us to share our collections. Code Lab is where I work in Middlebury College. There's a few of us who have our own iPods. This is what I've been listening to. I've uploaded. I can upload my library here from iTunes. You export it to iTunes. You upload it here. And I can make this available for other people to look at. You might recognize this rating field here. This gives me information that iTunes doesn't give me. It tells me who I listen to the most. Lucinda Williams, Beatles, Radiohead. What genres I listen to the most, rock, jazz, alternative, number of times I played. It gives me an analysis of my rating. I seem to be playing things I've rated 60, I play more than anything else. Things I've rated 80, I'm not playing very much. That's kind of an interesting observation on my rating patterns. This tool is really great. You can generate all sorts of statistics. You can add any number of additional statistics, any number of additional search criteria can be added in. Oh, and here we're jumping into genre podcasts. So here, we were talking about music, but we can easily talk about podcasts. These are the podcasts I have been listening to recently. Actually, some of them are my own. In preparation for this conference, I have been listening to stuff that I was saying before because I've forgotten it. And rating, some of these things I think are pretty good, and I've given it ratings. I haven't explained the red and the yellow stars. You might have seen this interface from IT Conversations. Great website. It allows you to rate things. The yellow stars represent your ratings. Oh, this is a great one. I give that 4 stars. And it aggregates all that and gives a community rating. What we've actually done is separated those two out because it'd be interesting to know how your rating compares to the community. So I think that's a whirlwind of what I've been doing with iPods. And Xiao's now going to talk a little bit more about the logistics of how we got these iPods to all these students.